We're sitting there waiting for practice to start, and I look off into the distance, and I see
with your crazy vision,
the magical red number 9 running onto the field
with his
pads and helmet, and I go, Nick.
Welcome to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast, a show where two guys who never made it playing football talk about football. Here are your hosts, Austin Gregory and Nick Cougas.
And welcome back to another episode of the UDFA podcast, episode number 11. Last week, not only did we reach double-digit number of episodes, but we reached a concurrent 150 total plays so far the podcast, so just on the up and up right now. I appreciate the continued support from everybody. We're definitely going to be looking forward to just continuing to grow the podcast, definitely as mine and Nick's schedules kind of clear up with our internships wrapping up here at the end of the summer. We're definitely going to be looking to grow our presence on social media, just get things going on that end. But with that being said, like we mentioned last week, we have things to get into right away with NFL training camp starting. There's always going to be some sort of news with teams reporting to camp. And there's plenty of news to talk about this week. The most important news coming out of Indianapolis, not only Carson Wentz entered once again and out for the foreseeable future, but also the best player on the Indianapolis Colts, Quentin Nelson, injured as well. Same exact injury for them. Both of them have the same time and window to return. I think they can return as early as week 5, but it's also like as late as week 12, which isn't good situation, and it's definitely interesting seeing how Indianapolis is approaching the situation at hand.
Yeah, I mean, this is very unfortunate. I mean, we know that Carson Wentz is a guy that has had his fair share of injury troubles in the league so far. You know, he tore his ACL in that MVP-like season in 2017. Many think that if he didn't, he would have won MVP that season. But ever since then, he's been kind of just injury-riddled and really hasn't found a true starting position when he was in Philadelphia because he couldn't stay on the field. So this last offseason, he was traded to the Indianapolis Colts, which, you know, seemed like a win-win for both sides, you know, kind of like a revitalization for Wentz with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. And the Eagles get to move on and kind of move towards Jalen Hurts. But you know, this is an injury that's going to be 5 to 12 weeks, apparently. Like you said, Quentin Nelson, their all-star guard, is suffering the same injury, so he will be out for the same amount of time, same 5 to 12-week timeline. But this is really unfortunate because we all know that I had Wentz doing some pretty big things. That was one of my hot takes a couple weeks ago, that he'd have a really good season. But I did say the one thing that he had to do was stay healthy, and he really couldn't seem to do that this season. So it's going to be interesting because the Colts really weren't that experienced, that quarterback behind Wentz. They kind of were trusting him to, you know, be the starter all season. So they just signed Hundley as, like, their backup. But other than Hundley, the four QBs on the roster total, he's the only one that's taken an NFL pass before. So that's really concerning for the Colts. They may look elsewhere. I think they should avoid Foles, which I'll get into later, but I just think that he needs to just stay away from Foles because, I don't know, I think that just destroys confidence, having Foles come in and replace him again. I think that he needs to have a fresh start with the Colts, you know, without Nick Foles looming around, just in my opinion. But, yeah, this is really unfortunate for Wentz.
Yeah, and obviously not ideal for Colts fans losing two of the corner pieces of your offense for this season. And really, obviously, the corner piece of your future in Quentin Nelson, the best O-line in the entire league. And for the Colts, like you mentioned, you know, they've come out and said, as far as the quarterback situation goes, they're kind of sticking with what they have after bringing in former UCLA Bruin Brett Hundley, who's seen his way around the league the past couple of years as a backup guy, might finally get his chance to be a starter here in Indy with Carson Wentz going down. Reports say that they have no interest in trading for guys like Nick Foles, Marcus Mariota also brought up as well. So definitely an interesting situation right now in Indianapolis. Obviously, unfortunate. This most likely probably knocks Indianapolis out of the playoff race. So yeah, we both had them going in as a wild card team. Obviously not beating the Titans for the division title in the AFC South. We definitely thought they were going to put up a good battle, but I said the other day to Nick that they should just give the AFC South title to Tennessee at this point, because it's not even going to be close with Jacksonville and Houston.
Yeah, this kind of just solidifies Titans as winning that division this year. And it's really unfortunate for the Colts, because even if this is a 5-week thing at the least for Carson Wentz, the first five games for them are four to five of those games are playoff teams, and the Dolphins are the only team that weren't a playoff team, and they were like one game away. And so the Colts have the Seahawks, the Rams, the Titans, Dolphins, and Ravens as their first five games. These are teams that combined for a 54-26 record last season. Like I said, four of them making the playoffs. Dolphins being the one just shy, but we all know they were very close to making it. So even if this is a 5-week thing at the minimum, the Colts are going to have their struggles without Wentz for sure. I can easily see them going 0-5 to start the season, which is not what they had foreseen at all. And it's just tough, because it's also tough for Philadelphia, who traded Wentz, and part of that deal was that they would get a first-round pick in return if Wentz were to play 75% of the snaps for the Colts. Which he won't now if he's going to be out this long. So the Philadelphia Eagles will not get that first-round pick in exchange for Wentz like they thought they might have, which is really unfortunate for them as well. So both sides here are really just taking a hit on this trade. And, you know, Wentz is a guy I still root for him. I always want him to do well. He's a great guy. And like I said, I had great expectations for him going into the season, but he just couldn't stay healthy, which is what I said he had to do. And it's really unfortunate that he's going to be sidelined again and missing games again due to injuries. His career has really been kind of defined by that, I would say.
Yeah, it's obviously really unfortunate, you know, going back to what you said about when his MVP caliber season was cut short because of his ACL injury he suffered against the Rams that year. Obviously didn't allow him to win MVP, and just turned into the league pretty much handing the MVP to Tom Brady that year. I still full-heartedly believe, even as a Giants fan, that Carson Wentz deserved to win the MVP with the Philadelphia Eagles that year. I mean, obviously, they still ended up winning the Super Bowl over Tom Brady. But it's just obviously not the situation that's ideal for Carson Wentz. Obviously, all the hype he had coming in to the draft, being a Division II guy coming out of North Dakota State, and everything and all this, just to kind of have an injury riddled career and really kind of just see things kind of fall apart for him is obviously not ideal for himself, for his career, or like I've mentioned before, now for the Indianapolis Colts fans.
Yeah, so who knows if this is going to be a common thing for him for the rest of his career. I really thought this year would be the year where he kind of stays healthy and proves everyone wrong, that he is still that MVP type quarterback, but at this point, it's how many times is this going to happen? So we'll see what the Colts do moving forward. I don't think that Brent Hundley's the answer for the kind of not the long term but for the at least mid season, like half season mark. I do think that I've heard that they are really trying to groom Jacob Eason, their draft pick, into the starter. They're gonna play him a lot in the preseason. You know, they're gonna workhorse him, you know, get him ready, get some live reps going, and hopefully get him ready by week one or two, because I love Hundley, but I don't think he's a serviceable QB for that long. As you know, as this could be a 5 to 12 week thing, I don't think he can hold over for that long. And Eason, you know, it's a guy they like. I know the Colts like him. But yeah, they're gonna really try to get him going and get him ready for this season. So he's gonna play a lot in the preseason and just try to get those live reps and experience going. But yeah, Colts, it's really unfortunate. They had some pretty lofty expectations this year, at least for me. A lot of other people as well. You know, good roster. But injuries just took out, you know, Wentz, and then they're all-star, all-pro guard in a series of days. So it's really taking a turn for the Colts. But yeah, it's unfortunate. But yeah, Titans looking like they're going to win that division now for sure.
Yeah, and obviously kind of see how it plays out at this point. But like you said, they are working out Jacob Eason and hopefully having him be their guy and not Brett Hundley. But we'll see how things kind of turn out. Maybe the defense can kind of carry this team as a fully healthy defense, of course, but we'll see how everything plays out with them. But as mentioned last week, we were planning on going over matting ratings, which with them all coming out now, it's a little easier for us to go over them. Obviously, we're not going to go over each and every Madden rating just because there's so many of them, and that'll take us the entire hour of this week's episode. Just kind of go through a couple notable things I think that we noticed. And, you know, funny enough, I said to Nick last week when we were at first talking about looking at the Madden ratings, and Nick was like, well, you know, I don't think the Madden ratings are that terrible so far. And I was like, just wait till the team ratings come out, because every single year Madden messes up the team ratings. I am pretty positive last year going into Madden 21, they had the Cowboys and Eagles ranked as the two highest teams in football, and like that, they finished third and fourth in the NFC East last year. And obviously, you know, it's just not accurate. You know, luckily enough, they did actually make the Super Bowl teams, the top two rated teams in football, like they should have this year. But after that, as far as it goes for team ratings, there's definitely a couple hiccups.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, the Bucs are really looking good. They're leading the house here with a 92 overall rating, and a 90 defensive rating, and a 92 offensive rating. So they're really looking good on Madden. Kansas City's interesting. They're a 90 overall, but they have a just scorching hot 96 offensive rating and a 78 defensive rating. But some surprises for sure. I mean, the Cowboys are 86 overall, which is 2 points overall higher than the Los Angeles Rams, who are an 84, surprisingly, and only have an 83 rated defense, which is, you know, a defense that was best in the league last year. Yes, they lost John Johnson. Yes, they lost Troy Hill. But you still have two 99s on that defense, and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. So I think the Rams should be at least like an 87 on defense, in my opinion. And they have an 81 offense, which is, I guess, fair for now until we see what, you know, Stafford can really do. But yeah, definitely some surprises. The Chargers are 84 as well. Cardinals, which really surprised me, are 85, which is above the Rams. And they finished third in the NFC West, which is really surprising, in my opinion. But yeah, Cowboys are always overranked, in my opinion. They're 86. But yeah, Bills, Browns, Ravens, Packers, Chiefs, and Bucks round out that top six, which kind of makes sense. But you're right, every year these Madden ratings get a little ridiculous, and I can tell people around the sports world and around the, you know, the gaming world are kind of fed up with how Madden is doing these ratings.
Yeah, and it's just funny, you know, that the Rams have, what'd you say, an 82 rated defense?
I think it's like 81.
But, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, they lose a couple key guys, but they are, you know, the only team that has two 99 overall players on their defense. So just kind of funny how that all works out. That means like a bunch of their guys have to be rated like 70s or 60s.
Yeah, which they're not, too.
Drag the average down there. So definitely just doesn't make sense. They just continue to fumble the team ratings. A couple things that I thought were notable just around a couple of the different positions. First, looking at the running back position, I definitely was a little surprised to see that Aaron Jones was ahead of the likes of Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Ezekiel Elliott. Very surprised to see Joe Mixon crack the top 10 for running backs as well.
Yeah,
definitely interesting there.
Yeah, what Madden does is they don't really care if you're injured. They don't really care that, like, what rating you were before you got injured. Like, if you didn't play, like, they'll put you down, which doesn't make sense. That's why Saquon, I think, is a 90. But, yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones, who played, I guess, had a pretty good season. I was able to jump him just because Saquon wasn't playing and was injured, which you know, in some worlds makes sense, in some worlds it doesn't. But we all know that Saquon Barkley's a better back than Aaron Jones. But it is a very recency bias kind of thing. With all these ratings, and it's just, it is what it is. A lot of people are, like I said, are fed up with Madden. We have, I think, NFL 2K coming out in a year or two, which I think is going to be a very interesting thing for EA and Madden to face, because they're going to have some competition finally, so they're going to have to, you know, try harder on their games, which is something they've been criticized for, is not implementing new things and stuff. But yeah, there are 5 99 rated players this year. I'm just going to name them. We got Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams, and 2 Rams, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So not the biggest 99 club that we've seen, but a pretty solid group there. But yeah, definitely some surprises. What else kind of surprised you on this list? Any surprises?
Yeah, so I mean, just kind of going throughout it too, going next to the wide receiver position. I mean, for one, I like the wide receiver position. You can't really complain about it, but you know, Madden is saying, if EA is saying, you know, we're going off injuries, you know, looking back at running back, why is Joe Mixon top 10? If we're going off injuries, why is Michael Thomas sixth in wide receiver rankings after last season. If we're going purely off of last season, why is he ahead of, you know, the likes of Keenan Allen?
It's all weird, dude.
Allen Robinson. Going to tight end, very weird. 5, 6, and 7, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, and Rob Gronkowski. You're 5, 6, and 7 ahead of the likes of Mike Gesicki, TJ Hockenson, and Dallas Goedert. Definitely very interesting there. I thought it was very interesting. I don't know what Madden classifies him as, but, you know, a little biased probably. But, you know, it shows him as the roster, as a defensive tackle. Last year he played defensive end. I'm talking about my New York Giants, Leonard Williams, who had a great year last year, earned his way into the Pro Bowl, 11.5 sacks. And if he's listed as defensive tackle, he's not even in top 10 for defensive tackles, which I find to be very surprising.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact he had better years than a lot of these guys on this list. Same thing with defensive end. There's a lot of guys on this list who didn't have, you know, spectacular years last year. Guys who are hurt, Von Miller and Nick Bosa are both, you know, normally top 10 guys, but Von Miller with the year he had last year, I don't even think he should be ahead of Joey Bosa. You know, I think it's weird that, you know, they just continue to have this. Definitely weird that TJ Watt is behind Khalil Mack once again.
They did the Steelers dirty.
Defensive end. They always do the Steelers dirty.
Like really bad.
Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, speaking of the Steelers, Minkah Fitzpatrick was the 10th ranked safety. I saw that, which was just absolutely absurd.
And even TJ Watt is the 3rd ranked defensive end. He had by far the best season out of any defensive end last year. And he's he's only a 94 behind a 96 Khalil Mack, who he should definitely be ahead of Khalil Mack. And Myles Garrett, you can make an argument for, but TJ Watt had a better season than Myles Garrett when it all panned out. Myles Garrett was given a 98. Now, I think T.J. Watt deserved a 99 this year, at least 98. But, yeah, in that case, like we said, Steelers were done dirty. Minkah Fitzpatrick is an 89, and I think he's one of the best safeties in the league. It's just ridiculous. And it seems like they always do the Steelers like this. I don't know why. Like I said, we don't know you don't know how Madden does these ratings. And it's funny because I see the guy on Twitter that, like, is in charge of all this, like, in putting the ratings out. And he's every time, like, last week when they were putting a new position group out, he was like, oh, I can't wait for you guys to see the next review. You guys are going to hate it. Like, are you not proud of these rankings at all? Like you not agree with them or what? Like, why are you not excited for people to see these ratings? Like, do they not make sense to you or what? It's just weird.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick and I could both go on, you know, endless amounts of rants about EA. We've both played FIFA for a number of years. We've both poured an unhealthy amount of money into FIFA over the years. And, you know, EA just continues to just collect their paychecks and kind of not really care about what the community wants. You know, in terms of FIFA, there's been a lot of things that people have wanted for a really long time that has taken them years to develop. Pro clubs is something that's really big on FIFA. It allows you to play with other people on one team. And, you know, we've wanted for years to be a cross-platform thing. And EA still hasn't brought us cross-platform. And, you know, MLB The Show with San Diego Studios just came out for the first time ever on Xbox this year, and it's already cross-platform in year one. So it's just like, how can the largest sports gaming company in the world still not bring what the fans want, which they know will bring more money to the company? It really just doesn't make sense. But looking at a couple more notable things, definitely interesting to see that with the rookies, the top 10 rookies are as follow: Kyle Pitts at number 1, Trevor Lawrence at number 2, Jalen Waddle at number 3, Patrick Surtain the 2nd at 4, Zach Wilson 5, tied with Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, and Penny Sewell, and then at 9 and 10, tied as well as Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Definitely a couple things that pop out to me on this list is the fact that, for one, that as much as Nick and I love Kyle Pitts, I feel like it makes sense not to have Trevor Lawrence as the number one guy here, number one draft pick. You know, he's seen as a very highly viewed prospect. Nick has told me that he hasn't looked great in camp lately, which is definitely very interesting. I think another thing that's interesting is that Patrick Surtain, for one, is higher than Jamar Chase. The fact that Jalen Waddle is the highest rated wide receiver over Jamar Chase here. The fact that Zach Wilson, I know that they try to keep all these rookies around the same thing, but it very surprised me that they have Zach Wilson at the same rating as Jamar Chase, and really that they have Devontae Smith as the same rating as Jamar Chase. I feel like it would have been more fitting if they went like 76 for Jamar Chase, 75 for Waddle, and then 74 Devontae Smith to kind of just keep it in order. And then, you know, definitely interesting that Trey Lance and Justin Fields ended up being the same rating here. But obviously, you know, it's it's going to change throughout the year. Definitely interesting that, you know, Kyle Pitts is almost in his own right already a top 10 tight end in terms of ratings, which is definitely pretty crazy. He's more than likely probably going to make it into there at some point in the season, but definitely I think, you know, EH, just like all we have to say, I think, is really just kind of figure it out. You know that the fans don't like any of this year in, year out, so I just want to know, what is it going to take for EA to finally figure out how to get what the fans want?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like I said, it's going to be the new competition games coming out made by different companies. They're really going to push them and make it no longer a monopoly that in football video games. There's going to be competition now for them to go against and compete with. But anyways, Kyle Pitts being the number one rookie, I love it. I saw a video today on Twitter of him just Matty Ice threw a ball up, and he just got up so far and looked like he's been playing in the league for over 5 years. Like, I think this guy's going to be so good. I can't wait to see him play. I think he's well-deserving of an 81 rating because I think he's ready to make an impact immediately. But, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is second there at 78, the number one overall pick, which, you know, you can argue for or argue against. But I will argue always for Kyle Pitts being the highest-rated rookie. I agree with it 100%. But, yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, and I mean, it's again, just always doesn't really matter what we think, because we're not going to have any say in it, because EA does whatever they want.
Yep.
But with that being said, yesterday, as mentioned previously, Nick and I and a couple of our buddies went to Rams training camp down at UC Irvine yesterday. Definitely an interesting experience. Definitely an up and down kind of one. You know, we got there, we waited in line, not for too long. You know, it wasn't too bad. We were in the shade at least too.
Yeah.
Got into the stadium, not the stadium, got into like where they're hosting it at UC Irvine. Got our free poster. It's a pretty tough poster, actually. Walked around, kind of see what they had. They made us throw away 6 closed, sealed water bottles that we wanted to bring in.
Absolutely brutal scenes.
Because it was hot as hell, and we were bringing water in, and I let the people know thanks for killing the planet when they made me throw away the water bottles.
It was funny, too, because the people ahead of us were like going to do the same thing. They were telling us to throw their water bottles. They were telling them to throw their water bottles away, and they were like, why? And the security guard straight up said, it's because they want you to buy their water inside and not your water. And I'm like, at least you're being honest about it. Like, that's why you're doing it. But, yeah, it's terrible.
It's so factual. It's so $4 for a water bottle inside, too. We went for the $4 Gatorade instead.
Yeah.
Gator Light, the first time we ever had that.
Good stuff.
But, yeah, it's definitely nice to see. Nick, as we mentioned previously, does have his own Rams podcast, Rams Twitter page, and Nick technically broke news yesterday. We were going to camp under the impression that Matthew Stafford wasn't going to be throwing because the day before on Monday he had hit his hand on a helmet throwing a pass, and so reports came out that he was going to miss a couple days, and then we're sitting there waiting for practice to start, and I look off into the distance and I see,
yeah, with your crazy vision,
the magical red number 9 running onto the field
with his
pads and helmet, and I go, Nick, Stafford's out here with his pads. Obviously, first day Rams were in pads too, so that was really cool for us to be able to see that. Some nice hits yesterday. Yeah. You know, definitely cool. We did quite a bit of moving around to be able to see what we wanted to see. But definitely nice just to see, you know, the likes of Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford. Literally everybody we wanted to see was out there. Andrew Whitworth, I think, was the only guy that we didn't see out there because he was on a veteran rest day, which he gets to do because he's an old guy.
Yeah.
Year 16 for him. But definitely a cool experience. You know, unfortunately, it sucks that we weren't allowed to interact with players. There was this D-bag of security guard who kept yelling at people. And said, my favorite part of our trip yesterday was he went up to this little kid. The guy goes, don't interact with the players, after the kid was trying to talk to Jalen Ramsey. And then Nick doesn't hear the guy, and Nick just goes, Jalen.
Jalen. Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear what he said. I didn't know that's what he said. I'm like, what did he say? And you're like, don't interact. I'm like, oh well.
But yeah, definitely pretty cool. Obviously, you know, it was interesting just watching kind of how these guys act. You can obviously tell, you know, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey know how great talents they are, kind of moseying their ways around. Jalen Ramsey was the last guy to come onto the field for practice. Definitely, you could tell he wasn't giving his 100% effort because He was getting beat on a couple routes, but he also, you know, was working hard. There was one drill in particular that we saw right in front of us that the DBs were working on intercepting some balls, and he went and took like three extra reps by himself afterwards. Definitely interesting to see, you know, what kind of people they have throwing the football and catching punts. Definitely not people who look like they've ever played a down football in their life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 90-man roster at the start training camp, so it's a lot of guys that are fighting for jobs, even, you know, just drafted, undrafted free agents. Yep,
how
I said it. I said it. Yeah, coming out of college, just trying to find a job in the NFL, so it's big rosters. But one thing I did see yesterday that was cool, like you said, I know some guys, you know, like these young guys fighting for jobs are really putting their all 100% effort into it, and you know, these veterans and 99 overalls and Maddens, I guess you can say, like Ramsey and Donald, you know, maybe don't need to go 100% on every rep in training camp this early. But one thing I did see that was cool was on the passing routes with Stafford again, who a guy who we didn't think was going to throw tomorrow yesterday, but he was. When they were doing their fade routes or streaks, he threw one to Woods and Woods dropped it, and you can tell he was pissed off and he ran right back to the front of the line. And usually the QBs rotate with the receivers as well. So the next guy would have thrown like Woods a ball, but Stafford goes, no, I want to throw, like, you can see him. He went back to the front of the QB line as well, to redo that rep because they wanted to get that chemistry down and they wanted to get Woods that catch. So they both went back to the front of the line and redid the play. And it was a great touchdown. Woods caught it. And it was kind of cool to see that they're working together and to get that chemistry down. One kind of thing I saw that was really cool.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, a really cool, unique experience, and obviously cool that we got to go for free, you know, minus, you know, having to pay, you know, $4 for a Gatorade. you know, Nick not being able to get his new Jalen Ramsey jersey he wanted because for whatever reason they didn't have any adult mediums. Cade not being able to get his bucket hat because they weren't selling any.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was definitely just cool experience, you know. Obviously, it sucks that we weren't able to interact with any players, be able to get any autographs or anything like that. But definitely, you know, just appreciate it. But we do recommend, you know, you have it right behind us here at CLU in the future. For then, we don't have to drive the 2 hours to get to Irvine. But with that being said, we are getting right here to our halfway point, so we are going to take our ad break here to hear from ourselves. Thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. So we will be right back after this short break to talk a little bit more NFL news and a couple of our usual segments.
Yeah, I got Nick Chubb stuff and Giants stuff and, you know, the usual head-to-head and in question of the week hot take, so stay tuned.
Yeah. And welcome back. Thank you once again to our sponsor, Anchor, for continuing to help us support our podcast and grow our viewership. Definitely, like Nick and I have mentioned before, really cool to have an audience all across America and across the world now. So definitely just cool to have that. But with that being said, after we took a break last week and switched it up for a little bit of a different head-to-head segment, we will be going back to our roots of head-to-head segment. But for those of you who remember from week 9, we switched things up from our usual Nick reading the wheel to what's in the box, where we picked the box to figure out what team we got.
That was a fun one.
And this time I have found a card game where it deals us cards with the team's logos on it.
Okay.
So definitely something a little interesting. So it just deals the card and then that'll be your team. So, you know, I'm guessing there's 52 cards so you can probably duplicate, but, you know, it shuffled it for us and we'll just get things underway. I look back, I went first last time and lost. So it will be your turn to pick first this time, Nick. With you looking to even the series up at 3 games apiece.
Okay, so I'm ready to go here.
So for those of you who don't remember, we go head-to-head, and we each get a quarterback, a running back, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, a team's offensive line, and a team's defense. So with that being said, the first team for Nick is not great.
Oh, boy.
It is the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Okay, I can work with this, actually, believe it or not. Let's see what I can do here. Didn't I get this before and I went Corey Davis?
You did.
Okay, I don't know if I want to go with Corey Davis again, but I might have to because, damn, I don't know who else they really have that could benefit me here. The defense is not there. O-line is really not there. I guess I just I'll just go Corey Davis, I guess.
All
right. Not too terrible.
So go Corey Davis off the rip.
Yep.
Your next team is, oh, a nice one.
Okay, good.
A team that I don't know if we've ever had before.
Okay.
And that is good. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, so I'm going to go Mahomes. I'm not even going to think twice about it.
Little 99 at Royal Madden Club.
You got to do it.
And your second pick, a team that we have had before.
Okay.
Many times. And that is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go their O-line. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go... I went Jamar Chase last time I got him, I think. Defense. Yeah, I need to go Jamar Chase again. So I got Davis and Chase as my receivers. Not too great, but I do have the best QB in the league so far. So that's a plus.
Good start.
Yeah.
Your next pick, your favorite team, Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go. So I'm not, I would go Russ if I didn't have Mahomes, but I can go DK. I can go.
No, you can't. You got no wide receivers.
Oh,
left.
I can't. Yep. Damn. Okay. So I can't go DK. So
you got running back, tight end, O-line, defense.
Ooh, jeez. I'll go their defense. You know, it was all right last year. It was pretty good. That second half of the season. So I guess I gotta go because I'm not gonna go their O line or their running back.
Could have gone Chris Carson.
I don't think he's too.
I know you're not a big Chris Carson guy.
I don't hate him. I just think I can get a better running back. I think Seattle defense is right. Above average.
Your next team is the Denver Broncos.
Okay. I was just going to Noah Fant. All
right.
Yeah, solid tight end.
On the up and up out of the University of Iowa.
Yes.
Your next team. Ooh, this one's going to be a good one. Also, honestly, might be a tough pick for you.
It has to be O-line, right? Or running back.
You got running back and O-line. Okay. And your team is the Cleveland Browns.
Let's see. Yeah, and either Nick Chubb or that line. I'm going to go Nick Chubb is a premier running back. I got to go Nick Chubb.
All right. Nick Chubb it is. And your O-line, ooh, is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. It was better than Seattle, I think. Maybe a little bit, but I guess I got to stick with them. So yeah. Jags O-line. Hopefully they kick it up a notch because they're protecting the franchise now with Trevor Lawrence. So. Yeah. Yeah, my team is Mahomes at QB, so can't get better than that. Running back, Nick Chubb, a very good running back as well. So a good little foundation there. And then running up receivers, I got Jamar Chase, rookie out of Cincinnati, and Corey Davis, you know, a fifth overall pick, I believe. But now with the Jets, still a pretty talented guy in my opinion. So not the best receivers, not the worst. Noah Fant, who I love at tight end, pretty solid tight end, above average there. I'm happy with that. Seattle defense could be worse. And then I rounded out with the Jacksonville O-line. So it's not the best team. I think I might have had worse teams. But we'll see how you can stack up to that. Maybe you do a little worse than me, and I tie the series up at 3-3.
Yeah, so we'll see. I just shuffled up the deck, so we'll see how things turn out for me.
Okay. Did I get a shuffle before, or did I just go straight into it?
I gave you a shuffle before, don't worry.
All right.
My first pick is the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
And I will be taking anti-COVID boy, DeAndre Hopkins. Next team is the Cincinnati Bengals. Interesting one.
Go ahead and cancel out my Jamar Chase. I wouldn't be mad.
Probably what I'm gonna do.
I wouldn't be mad.
I don't want to deal with Joe Mixon, considering Joe Burrow there, but we'll pass on both of them. My next team is the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
And I will take Dak Prescott.
Okay. So I got QB right now. I got you at QB.
I wasn't gonna win QB, so yeah. Might as well just go. Oh, and I get to cancel you out again.
Okay.
I get the Cleveland Browns, so I'll cancel out your Nick Chubb.
Okay.
My next pick is the New England Patriots. So I have
not too great.
Tight end, O-line, and defense left.
You can go Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith.
O-line or defense here, and I think both are better than what you have. I'm going to go with that Patriots O-line.
Okay.
My next team is the Miami Dolphins. And I'm definitely going to go with that Dolphins defense, with or without Xavier Howard.
Not liking this, where this is going.
And my last team, is the Washington football team, which will lead me off with...
Should have taken that defense.
Logan Thomas.
Should have known you're going to get them next pick.
It's all right. So that leaves me with a team of...
All right, break us down.
Dak Prescott at quarterback. Nick Chubb at running back. DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver one. Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver two. Logan Thomas at tight end. The New England Patriots offensive line.
Okay.
And the Miami Dolphins defense.
All right, let's do some math here, Gregory. Let's see what we're going to break it down to.
Do some math. Yeah. So, quarterback, unfortunately for me, Dak Prescott, great pick, but Patrick Mahomes is better.
Okay, 1-0, me.
Defense cancels out.
Okay.
D-Hop, definitely better than Corey Davis.
1-1.
I mean, running back cancels out. I don't know why I said defense. Wide receiver 2 cancels out.
Still,
both have Ja'Marr Chase.
Still 1-1?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we have Logan Thomas and Noah Fant, which is an interesting one. I feel like a lot of people like Logan Thomas, but I don't like Logan Thomas. I mean, I'm definitely going to give you the edge at Noah Fant.
Okay.
But I feel like a lot of people like Logan Thomas.
Okay,
next.
So what is it? 1? It's 2-1? 2-1
you.
Okay.
Next is my Pats O-line versus your Jags O-line. And I don't think there's any arguing that the Jags O-line is better than the Pats O-line.
Okay. So 2-2?
2-2. And then Dolphins defense, obviously better than the Seahawks defense. So just gives me the edge at 3-2.
Dude, one of these days we're going to go into OT and sudden death. It's going to be...
We're going to go into OT.
Not today, but...
How many games I went in that? We're going 7?
I mean, that came down to the wire. I think 6 or 7.
All right. So me and 7, which gives me a 4-2 lead on the season. And just a cool little another thing. We'll see if we can find something else here to pick our teams another time. But with that being said, we are... going to get right down into some news, which has to do with the man who was both of our running backs this week, Nick Chubb,
yep,
who earned himself a payday, a 3-year contract extension, obviously with the Cleveland Browns, as he has solidified as himself as one of the premier running backs in the NFL, even with Kareem Hunt as a strong handcuff, and really Kareem Hunt spending a lot of time on the field last year. But definitely good for Nick Chubb here. Nice to see him getting the money deserved and, you know, bringing pride once again to that Georgia running back room.
Yeah, this is a great thing for Nick Chubb. This is well-deserved money here. So, yeah, this is a 3-year contract extension worth $36.6 million, which is great running back money. And it's this includes $20 million in guaranteed money, which is the 7th highest total in the league among running backs, which is, you know, it's where he should be. So this puts him as a free agent at 29 again. So that's, you know, that's an age of running backs. A lot of them may be coming to the end of their careers. As we know, running back is a very kind of short, I'd say the shortest career in the league position-wise. But right now, Nick Chubb is one of the best running backs in the league. He's the backbone of this Cleveland offense. Has these past 2 seasons at least, you know, he's averaged a whopping 5.25 yards a carry during that time. In 2019, he actually came just shy of beating Derrick Henry for that rushing title. You know, I think it was like 47 yards shy. And last season was really impressive what he was able to do. He missed 4 games with a knee injury and was still able to, you know, finish with over 1,000 rushing yards. So it's really impressive what he's been doing. And one of the stats that really stands out to me with Nick Chubb is that he leads the NFL like by far with an average yards per carry in the 4th quarter, and it's 10 yards per carry in the 4th quarter, which is insane. So this guy really eats in the 4th quarter. No one else is doing that in the 4th quarter. This is a really impressive stat. But really, really glad that Nick Chubb got this extension. I like him. He's a very humble guy, very soft-spoken guy, but just a bruiser, an absolute great running back. And like I said, the backbone of this Cleveland offense. And Baker is very lucky to have a running back like this behind him.
Yeah, and obviously really great for this Browns team to have, you know, this contract extension for Nick Chubb. And obviously, like you said, he was phenomenal last year. He seems to get better every year. So it's really nice for him. He's another guy who has a great work ethic on and off the field, an absolute gym monster as well. I think he was squatting like north of 500 pounds like the other week or something.
Yeah,
which is just absolutely insane. But definitely great for this Browns offense to solidify one of their cornerstones at running back and keep Nick Chubb around for a couple more years. But with that being said, getting into my New York Football Giants. Definitely some news you don't want to hear. especially when it's within the team. You know, being in training camp, we hear a lot of the times of these brawls breaking out when we have inter-squad practices. The most notorious one is the Houston Texans Washington football team, where we saw D-Hop and D'Angelo Hall go at one another. But this time it was the Giants going at the Giants. Yesterday there was a hit. I've seen a couple different reports. Some reports that it was Jabril Peppers. Some reports that it was second year safety Xavier McKinney. One of them put a hit on a newly signed running back Corey Clement. And the hit really wasn't that bad. I saw like a little slimmer of the hit. And then Evan Engram came in and retaliated on whoever the hit was on. And then Logan Ryan came and retaliated to Evan Engram. And then it turned into a dog pile that somehow Daniel Jones ended up being in. And when they asked Daniel Jones why he was in the dog pile, he quote unquote said, I just wanted to be in on the fun. So I jumped in, which, you know, is, it's kind of funny. Everything seems to be good with the team now. They all kind of seem mellow out. Corey Clement said it was a good hit. It just happens in practice. Joe Judge obviously was very irate about it. I've seen reports from people saying they've never seen a coach drop so many F-bombs in one time period at a practice. After it happened, Joe Judge sent all of his coaches away and just tore into all the players and ended practice. And that was after they ran miles worth of 100-yard sprints and did hundreds, probably close to hundreds of push-ups on the goal lines. And, you know, they were definitely whipped into shape. But that's going to be the kind of coach Joe Judge is. And it's kind of funny that we've seen three guys retire from the Giants now in the last couple of days. So it's definitely just an interesting situation that kind of ended up happening, but things seem to be all good now after the brawl. But the other news coming out of Giants camp yesterday was that Kenny Golladay, star wide receiver, big free agency acquisition, has a hamstring strain. Definitely not the worst case scenario, they said, which is definitely nice. But obviously, you know, never good to see a guy who has dealt with injuries, who they saw as a clean bill of health and were glad to sign him, getting injured once again, especially when they're hoping for a good year for this team, and obviously for Daniel Jones to finally have a healthy set of weapons around him.
Yeah, I mean, that it definitely was an interesting day at camp for the Giants yesterday, like you said, with that big brawl. I mean, this is kind of a common thing in camp. This is the pads were on for the Giants yesterday. This is their first day in pads this year in training camp. So it was really their first live reps at each other since, you know, December, January at that. So temper is going to be flaring whenever this happens. It's 7 months without football. You come back, you put the pads on, you want to hit people. That's just how these guys are. So they want to get after it. And I read that this was not a thing that any of the players really thought was going to be a locker room issue. I'm sure they all laughed it off about it in the locker room after. Just try to have fun and build off of it. You know, team bonding is interesting. It can come in any kind of ways. And that is one of them, I think. Just having these brawls sometimes really gets you closer as a team. Whether Joe Judge he did the right thing, you know, making him run for it and stuff, really just asserting his, you know, discipline there. But I'm sure the Giants aren't too worried about this ruining their chemistry. If that, I think it builds it up a little bit more. But yeah, definitely interesting day for the Giants.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it's something we don't necessarily want to see as Giants fans, but also it seems to be, you know, everybody seems to be fine at this point. So kind of see how it just all plays out. Really hope, obviously, Kenny Golladay's healthy, obviously, with Saquon Barkley's ACL still lingering, it seems like. But with that being said, we are going to get into Question of the Week and our weekly hot take. I literally forget every single week who went first, who didn't go first.
It doesn't really matter. Whoever feels like they want to go first can go first.
I can go first this time for Question of the Week. This is something that came to me last week. As we mentioned last week, was really a big week in sports. We were prime in the middle of training, at the start of training camp. We had Olympics going on. We had NBA free agency starting. The NBA draft coming up, NBA free agency starting, NHL free agency starting, the MLB trade deadline. And Nick and I are just in the midst of sports right now. We had Rams training camp yesterday. Nick in his own rights going to a Padres game this week. I'm going to the Dodgers Angels game on Friday. So just a lot of sports going on right now. And for me, I'm really big into baseball, really big into hockey as well. So this kind of made me think of this situation. Obviously, you know, it would have to be a large change in terms for it to happen. But my question to you is, would you enjoy if the NFL was like the MLB and the NHL with having farm systems in terms creating more interesting trade opportunities where you would see less draft picks moved? So obviously, you know, with the MLB, when, you know, we saw the trades happen, this trade deadline, you know, it's not the Dodgers sending multiple first round picks and maybe one guy to be able to get Scherzer and Trey Turner like they did this year. It was them sending four prospects to get Scherzer and Trey Turner. So do you think it would be interesting if, you know, the NFL was like these two leagues where they can draft guys out of high school and have the rights to them to be able to, you know, trade them away, you know, even if they decide to go to college? Because it's a little different between the MLB and the NHL, because in the NHL you can be drafted out of high school and then still go to college and then sign with the team, whereas in the MLB, if you're drafted out of high school, you don't sign with the team, then you have to go to college for 3 years, then you would re-enter the draft. But do you think it would be interesting if the NFL had some sort of farm system that then allowed teams to trade prospects rather than draft picks? So kind of to simplify it, do you think it would have been interesting if the Rams didn't have to necessarily trade first round picks to be able to get that opportunity to be able to draft Goff?
Yeah, that's an interesting question for sure. I know that baseball, that's one of the biggest aspects of baseball, makes it interesting. But I don't know, in football, I know that you said that you'd be able to draft the rights to the player at high school and they can go to college and stuff. But I don't know, I feel like in some way it would be a detriment to college football, which is one of the greatest, you know, I think one of the greatest sports in America, just college football, the excitement around there and everything. It's just interesting because the NFL, I know that if there was like a farm system, I don't know how long these guys would be in the farm system, how long they'd be in it, like if it would be for years. They go when they start college and they're like, then they're 18, 19, and some of them could be in it for years and, you know, come out when they're maybe in their mid-20s. Like 25, 26. The NFL is a game where when you're in your prime, like you're in your prime, and the prime for an NFL player is, I'd say, like early 20s to 25, 26, 27. So I think that I know baseball is a lot of development. Guys, it's a game where guys can, you know, play longer than they can play football for. So I don't know if a farm system where players are kind of stuck in the farm system and not ready to come out yet, and by the time some of them do come out, they're older and maybe don't have fresh legs as they did, because, you know, football is a grueling game, really takes a toll on your body. But I think it'd be interesting because it definitely open up like these trade situations and all these scenarios where you can trade prospects and stuff instead of first round picks, which the Rams, as we know, have no problem doing. But that does, you know, put franchises back a little bit if you don't hit on these picks, if you don't have first round picks, which, you know, are the cornerstones for most franchises in the draft. Like, you draft players in the first round to, you know, build your franchise around. So it really is like the only option. That's like really the only option in the NFL is to have these first round picks and hit on them. But, you know, farm system, and it works really well in baseball, I think. Football, I don't know if it'd work too well. It'd be interesting, like, for the business side of things and that kind of aspect. But like I said, I think that football is a game where NFL franchises want to draft these guys right if they could, right after their freshman year of college sometimes, because they're ready to play, their bodies are ready to play the NFL game. So I don't know if it would work too well with football.
Yeah, I mean, it would be something that I think is kind of just interesting in general. As you know, obviously, it's just something that obviously has changed the way that the NHL and the MLB kind of function with, you know, the different ways that things happen. You know, I just think it's interesting that you don't see as many draft picks going anymore. It's definitely something I think that would become more realistic in probably the NBA, just with the amount of guys we see going to the G League rather than to college now. And obviously, guys like LeBron and Kobe were drafted out of high school. And so they've obviously abolished that since. But definitely, I just feel like something that would make sports a little bit more interesting if it wasn't all about trading away draft picks to be able to get, you know, a draft pick you want or get a guy that you want necessarily.
Yeah, I agree. The NBA, I think it makes sense in the NBA. But yeah, I just think football is just such a it's such a brutal game on your body. Like the people they put their bodies on the line in this game. Like you hit each other every day. And some players, you know, it takes a toll on them. We've seen Todd Gurley, kind of related to this with his arthritis. He was a workhorse running back and had a little bit of a lingering issue in his knee, which he just drove it into the ground. He ran it into the ground. And a player like him with a prime of a couple of years when he was younger, when he was around like 20, 24, with the Rams, and now he's a nobody. He's just still a free agent because his body is just taking that much of a toll playing football. So, he's still a young guy. I think he turned 26 yesterday. So, I don't know if there's like a farm system, like a lower league where guys are just running and putting their bodies on the line for. Like if you're a Ram, like if I'm a GM or whatever, if I'm like the owner of a team, and I have a prospect that I really want on my team, and I'm just like running him into the ground like a running back, I'm running him into the ground in these lower leagues, which really doesn't even benefit my team at all because he's running for like a lower league team. I'm just wasting his years. I'm wasting his mileage, which he could be running for me. So it's just interesting in football. It's just a different game, different kind of way your body works and how you use it and, you know, how brutal it is on your body sometimes. Like I said, it would be interesting. It would open up all these kind of trade opportunities in different scenarios. But realistically, I think that it should just stay the way it is, in my opinion.
Yeah, but in return, I pass it over to you for your question of the week for me.
Okay, this is kind of an interesting one. I talked about this earlier when we were talking about Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. These two just have history. We all know that. And my question to you is, would the Colts be destroying Carson Wentz's confidence and, you know, a fresh start in Indianapolis by signing Nick Foles to fill in for him yet again? Like, should they try to avoid getting Nick Foles for this reason, like solely due to the history that Wentz and him have together, just because Wentz deserves a fresh start and they want to show him that he's the guy there and there's no more Foles to be in your shadows?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a tough situation because obviously, it's a matter of health at this point. Like, you know, I don't think it's a fact that Carson Wentz is haunted by Nick Foles, because, you know, it's not like Carson Wentz lost his job in Philadelphia to Nick Foles. He got hurt and Nick Foles was the backup quarterback and then stepped in and won the Super Bowl for them. You know, it'd just be the Colts kind of getting a guy who they think they can trust with the football. I don't know if it would necessarily, you know, deplete his confidence. I think it would almost more kind of ignite a fire in Carson Wentz's stomach to want to come back and be that guy. You know, it's a similar situation for me in terms of when we were in high school playing water polo our senior year, when I lost my starting job as our goalie. And, you know, I remember the first game I came back as a starter, I had like a 15 or 16 save game and really just kind of shoved it down our coach's throat. And told him it really just kind of showed him I deserve to be the starter again. So I think, you know, it would suck for Carson Wentz, but I don't think it would necessarily be a bad move for the Colts. But I definitely feel like Nick Foles is, I mean, the best option for the Colts at this point. But I think, you know, I wouldn't necessarily trade for a guy either if I'm looking at them. If they want Carson Wentz to be the guy for them going forward, don't go out and get a guy like Nick Foles or a guy like Marcus Mariota who could, you know, be there and they could end up falling in love with the guy. You know, I say ride with a guy like Brett Hundley who, you know, is fine being a backup quarterback as we've seen in his career, or just keep grooming Jacob Eason because, you know, we've seen now at this point Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. Let the Colts groom this young guy to be their future quarterback in Jacob Eason. They drafted him last year for a reason. The point of Jacob Eason was to be the guy who was the successor to Phillip Rivers, not be the guy who was a long-term backup quarterback. So I don't think it would be, you know, a bad idea in terms of, you know, impacting Carson Wentz's career. I think it would just be a bad managerial decision by the Colts front office to go out and get a guy who could they end up liking more than Carson Wentz, because then that obviously ruined Carson Wentz's career.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from here, because, you know, Carson Wentz was a guy that the Eagles drafted in 2016 and was the franchise. This is a guy that they were going to rally behind and that he was going to be their guy. And like we said, injuries hit him hard, and he was out during that playoff run, that Super Bowl run, and his own backup, Nick Foles, got a statue outside of the stadium that's going to be their as forever, as long as that stadium is there. And just the fact that you were the franchise and there's a statue of a quarterback outside of your old stadium, of a quarterback that's not you, and you were the franchise quarterback. That's just got it, and it's of Nick Foles. Like, that's just got to just be hard on you, and to finally kind of break free of that shadow, that looming Nick Foles behind you, just ready to step in. It was a fan favorite, obviously, because he won a Super Bowl for the Eagles. Just to finally be out of that kind of that shadow and that spotlight where he's just always going to be looking behind him. To be finally free from Nick Foles and your own team, where they trust you and they traded for you, they want you, and they want you to be their franchise. I think just getting Nick Foles back, the guy that has a statue outside your stadium when you were the franchise, bringing him back into the picture, when you finally think that you're avoiding him and you're out of that, it's just got to break you down. And if Nick Foles comes in, if he does come into the Colts and does well, that's just completely going to shut Wentz down and destroy him, just like it happened in Philly. The same thing happened in Philly. His confidence got destroyed because Jalen Hurts and Nick Foles came in while he was injured and played well. So if this happens again and they get Nick Foles in Indianapolis and he plays well, I don't know. That's just got to just be so brutal on Wentz. And I don't want to see it happen, to be honest. I don't want to see it happen. So I think the Colts should just avoid signing Nick Foles. Like you said, he's not even the best option. I think that you get Mariota for the time being. I think he's still a talented QB, but nonetheless, Nick Foles, I think, should just not be a Colt, and just Carson Wentz needs to just stay by himself without him. In my opinion, just that's for the best for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it totally makes sense. And you know, both you and I want to see the best for Carson Wentz as he goes forward in his career. But it seems like the Colts don't even want to sign one of these guys or trade for one of these guys. Moreover, but I definitely think it's an interesting situation to keep a monitor of. And obviously, we know this is going to impact your hot take about Carson Wentz. But with that being said, we do have our weekly hot takes to go into before we wrap up the episode here. I'll go ahead and go first, since I just went first with the question of the week. And mine's kind of an interesting one here. Has okay. to do with some rookies.
I feel like you always say that, but which is good. Which is, it should be interesting, but let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to hear this.
I had the one time where I said one of my hot takes is lukewarm. I don't think this one's lukewarm. I think this one's actually pretty hot. It might be one of my hottest ones yet.
Piping hot, or like how hot are we talking here?
Moderately
hot, like scorching hot. What do we mean?
I would say like hot tub temperature hot. So all right, around, so like around 100 degrees.
90, 100. All right.
So I believe that Trey Lance.
Okay.
Justin Fields.
Okay.
And Mac Jones.
Okay.
Will all be the starting quarterback of their team by week 7. And to build on that, I say this because week 6, the Patriots host the Cowboys. And, you know, if the Patriots suffer an embarrassing loss to the Cowboys and Cam Newton's in at quarterback, could definitely see Bill Belichick pulling the trigger on Cam Newton and bring in Mac Jones week 7. As they host an easy matchup with the New York Jets. Week 6, I believe the 49ers have an interesting matchup, which they do, and it is the Indianapolis Colts in San Francisco, technically Santa Clara.
Yeah.
But if they lose that game with Jacob Eason / Brett Hundley at quarterback for the Colts, then I could definitely see them benching Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Because it would then set up some magic week 7, but, and I'll explain in just 1 second, but
okay.
For the Bears leading up to week 7, they definitely have some interesting kind of matchups per se leading up to week 8, but the first kind of the first stretch of the season for the Bears is not easy.
Let's hear it.
They open the season in LA against your Rams.
Yep.
They should win week 2 against the Bengals in Chicago.
Yep.
Week 3, they're in Cleveland. Tough matchup.
Tough.
At home, they should win hosting Detroit. Week 5, they're in Vegas against the Raiders, which definitely is going to be tough. Week 6, they host the Packers. And then week 7, they're in Tampa Bay. So
yeah.
Definitely a very tough stretch for them, which would then lead up to week 8, which would give us Justin Fields versus Trey Lance, as we have the Bears versus the Niners.
Ooh.
On, I believe, Halloween. Yes, it is on Halloween.
That would be sick. That would be amazing.
So I feel like, you know, if the stars align, would definitely be something that's interesting. Trey Lance threw an absolute dot in practice yesterday for the Niners. I saw that. Justin Fields has been impressing. I saw an interview yesterday with Kurt Warner and Andy Dalton at Bears camp, and Andy Dalton, like, he's just like he's talking like he knows that he's a starter, but I feel like he also knows that he's not like the guy that they want. He literally said in the interview he hears all the fans chanting Justin.
Yeah.
That they clearly want Justin Fields to be the starter, and I feel like Justin Fields is just going to prove himself. And I've seen reports that Mac Jones is also having a really good camp in New England. So definitely would not be surprised to see all three of these guys starting by week 7.
I can see that happening too. Like at week 7, I think that's enough time to kind of gauge where you're at as a team that season. 7 games in, you definitely should be able to see like where your quarterback play is what trajectory that is going in. And you're right, those are like schedule wise, like you looked at the schedules and saw the kind of games that they were playing. And the scenarios that could play out with those games, because they are playing some, you know, tough teams that could, you know, result in the starting quarterbacks of those positions as of now struggling and showing signs of the baton being passed to these young guys. So week 7, I love it. I think that's a great hot take. I'd be happy to see this as well. Maybe even earlier for some. I think Mac Jones maybe a little earlier. As we know, Cam Newton had a really interesting season last year, not really great at all. And Mac Jones is, you know, just seems like a Bill Belichick kind of guy. I think he wants to kind of get him in as soon as possible. But at the same time, Cam is your starter, and he really has to prove himself, prove that he can't do it. So in that case, Mac Jones would be starting a little earlier. But Trey Lance is kind of the one where it's like, this is the guy that was drafted, and he was the guy by far that had the most kind of work to do. He had a very, not short college career, but a very inexperienced college career. In the games that he did play, he was great, but he also didn't play a lot of games. So that's the thing with Trey Lance. A lot of people think he's not even going to start this season, so that's why Austin's take is I like it. It's a good take here, which means the Niners would have to be struggling before he takes over. So they'd have to be doing pretty bad with Jimmy Garoppolo, which, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing. But Justin Fields, I think, as well, is a QB that definitely is the future for the Chicago Bears and definitely is going to step in at least sometime this season. But I think week 7 is a good benchmark. That's a pretty fair benchmark there. And I think that has a good chance of hitting. So that's going to be good for you if that hits. I'll be happy to see that hit. But yeah, I like it, Austin.
Yeah, and it's kind of one that just kind of randomly came to me. And I think it's an interesting kind of situation to see it all kind of play out. And obviously, I think all of the first-round quarterbacks are going to start at some point this season. But obviously, we know Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson aren't the starters of their team. But yeah, I'll pass it over to you for your hot take this week.
Okay, yeah, I'm excited for this one. So I have been, as you know, I've been becoming very high on a certain rookie running back, Najee Harris out of Pittsburgh. He has really been having a good camp. Steelers reporters have been just harping on the fact that he's going to be a very important part of this offense. He's ready to play. He's going to be a three-down back. He's going to be their bell cow, and he's going to be involved in the receiving game a lot. He had an interview a couple of days ago where he said that they're going to line him up, you know, out wide and not just, you know, as a running back. He's going to run some actual routes and stuff and be a receiver because this is a guy that played receiver before. So my hot take is that Najee Harris becomes the first rookie and fourth player ever to rush and receive for over 1,000 yards. I think this is a guy that's going to rush for 1,000 and also catch 1,000 yards in his rookie season, which puts him in elite company. McCaffrey was the last person to do this in 2019. Marshall Faulk did in 99, and Roger Craig did in 85. So this is going to put him in elite company if he does this. But I think this is the player that has the best chance to do this. He's going to be and the fact that there's an extra game this season, too, is another reason I did this. More chances for him to do this. So I think that he's really going to be stellar and has the ability to run for over 1,000 in 17 games. And I'll say in 17 games, he's got a good chance to receive for over 1,000 as well. So I love this take. I really want to see it hit. I know our friend Brandon's going to want to see that hit as well. But I think he's going to be the X factor for Pittsburgh this season and just be their everything.
Yeah, and it's definitely reasonable. I mean, it's like we've mentioned before, we can see a numerous number of records being broken with the extra game this season. And, you know, I definitely see it being possible just because of how kind of depleted the Steelers' O-line has become this offseason, and also because of how old Big Ben is. he's going to need a guy to check down to, so he could check it down to Najee Harris and he can work his magic with his feet.
That Texas route would be big.
I don't think, you know, and especially after last season with Deontay Johnson leading the league in drop balls, I think, you know, if Najee Harris is really secure with those check down passes and those quick kind of slants or
screen passes,
a wheel route or something, that Ben's really going to start to like to dump off the ball to him rather than Deontay Johnson. So I definitely could see that happening. I feel like, you know, I almost feel like the 1,000 receiving yards might be more likely for him than the rushing yards, just because of kind of how depleted that Steelers O-line is now with losing Villanueva, the Castro, and Pouncey this offseason. But I definitely see it as realistic. This is definitely going to be a massive improvement at running back for the Steelers from James Conner last season. And I'm definitely, if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm definitely looking forward to the future with Najee Harris at running back.
Yeah, and this is a very intriguing guy. I love this guy. In fantasy draft, if you're drafting a fantasy draft right now, or a dynasty, if that, even better, attack this guy at all costs. I think he's going to be a great running back for them for years to come. But yeah, just to become the first rookie ever to do it, and the fourth player ever to break this benchmark of 1,000 yards on the ground and through the air, it's gonna be incredible if he does this. I don't think he goes like too much over each one. Like maybe he rushes for like 1,100 and catches for like a little over 1,000. But nonetheless, still, it's an incredible feat for a rookie, if that any player. And he said that after Steelers rookie minicamp that he expects to play everywhere, quote, everywhere in the offense, and that he'll spend some time lining up as a receiver out wide even. So not even just these Texas routes, these screen passes, these little checkdowns. He's going to be running routes downfield, I would assume, which is something that I don't think we're going to see any other running back do. Maybe Travis Etienne a little bit with Jacksonville, because I know that they kind of said that. But I think that he's just he can do it all for this offense. He's really going to be the X factor. I know that Juju and Claypool were last year in their, you know, the seasons, you know, catching a bunch of touchdowns, but they didn't really have a true running back last year. And I know that Mike Tomlin loves to run the ball and pass the ball to running backs, like we've seen with Le'Veon Bell when he was in his prime. And Najee Harris is just the perfect guy for Mike Tomlin to do this with. And I think it's gonna translate nicely. I think we're gonna see it really show for Najee Harris next season. And I'm just so excited to watch him play. I'm high on a lot of these rookies, but I'm just so excited to see football again and see these rookies play, because I'm just so, I don't know, I say excited all the time, but I really am excited.
Yeah, and how about a pair of offensive rookie hot takes for this week by Nick and I?
Yep.
And again, just we'll gotta wait and see if these hit. But with that being said, we are here at the end of episode number 11. So thank you guys for tuning in once again. We appreciate all the support. Please make sure to give us a follow on our social media at UDFAPod on both Instagram and Twitter. So thank you guys once again for the support. We appreciate all of it. And we will pass things off to Spencer to take us on out of here.
Thank you, guys. 3-month mark coming up next week. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Undrafted Free Agents Podcast. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at UDFAPod. That's at UDFAPod to stay up to date with the podcast. Until next time, just remember, you don't always need to be drafted to be successful.